from four very different perspectives. On the crazy and unpredictable world of professional wrestling, as a Pure Theory Creations Entertainment Network presents, a live, interactive show where you can be part of a conversation of all things professional wrestling, from the major leagues to the independents. This is Fatal 4-Way, live on ON TV.
And we welcome you to the Fatal 4-Way.
Did your phone go off? Oh, God.
Listen, we are as live can be here, and we appreciate you tuning in along with Sean Grugel, Brian Boff, Hollywood Q. I'm Jason Klaus, and we have a lot to talk about here tonight. Gentlemen, we're coming out of a historic WrestleMania season. I mean, we can talk about all day long about all the things that went down over the course of that big two-night event here a couple of weeks back. But that's what the podcast feed is for, and they're all in the archives. So check it out at PFC Entertainment Network. With that, we have a brand new era here in World Wrestling Entertainment, and it is really starting to shape not just WWE, but you're starting to see the trickle effect on full display on how this is going to affect the other companies that are jockeying for position. And right now, it seems like, you know, a lot of the attention, you know, as we come out of WrestleMania, is the WWE draft. Now, this is something that people have an opinion on one way or the other. They either like it or they don't like it. Some people would like to see the entire roster be under one umbrella and just have the different storylines on the shows or what have you. But at the same time, this is where we really have an opportunity to shake it up, as it were, to mix up the draft, the roster, get new matches, new stars on the horizon here. Q, I'll start with you. Where are you at with the draft? Because this thing will kick off on April the 26th on SmackDown in Cincinnati, and then they will conclude it on that next Monday, the 29th. In Kansas City. So overall, where are you at on the whole concept of the draft?
I'm cool with it. I'm glad they moved it up to around this time, like right after WrestleMania is the best time to do it.
Right.
Because I know when the old wrinkly guy was in charge, he did it in October, which, like, right before Survivor Series, which really didn't make sense because they were doing the Survivor Series brand warfare thing.
Yeah.
And you got people switching brands, and all of a sudden they're loyal to that brand, talking about, don't mess with my brand. And it's just a bunch of craziness, man. So I'm glad that they moved it to this date here in April. I mean, it's a new era. Yes, it is. So I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm full of pizza. You know, I'm good to go. I'm full. I got a little bit of gas in my gas tank, man. I'm ready to go, man. Let's get this thing fired up.
Well, I can tell you're fired up, and like, but I mean, as animated as you are, it doesn't get
carbs a lot.
It really is a thing where, you know, this is how a lot of wrestling fans are feeling. Like, this is what we have been waiting for, and for the longest time. And I put a teaser out yesterday, I think it was, that, you know, why was WrestleMania, why will this day go down, or this event go down, as the biggest night literally in the history of the business? It's not just what happened in the ring. It's not just who walked out with new titles and whatnot, because there was a ton of new champions that have been crowned. Only one champion remains in place from the previous era, if you were, because it is on this show that the declaration was made. We are in a new era here in not just the WWE, but all of professional wrestling, with Triple H on full display, head and shoulders above in charge. And now he has almost like an open playing field. Like, he has all these pieces. Where does he play with them? Now, Brian, you raised your hand when I alluded to the fact that there were some people that don't like the draft concept.
I don't like the fact that
there's no real rule set to the draft thing. It's just whatever they really want to do. So you'll see factions get drafted as whole factions. You'll get some people drafted individually from factions. It doesn't make sense. Like, if they actually, like, isolated, made it, like, the thing, and actually had rules to it, I'd go along with it. But I'm like, I'd rather just see an open format where everyone got the chance to wrestle everybody. I mean, we basically saw it because you had so many people holding multiple titles. They were showing up on multiple shows anyways.
Right.
So, I mean, what's the point? Like, just open it up. I get that they want to be able to focus some attention on the people that are not holding belts, so you got to make room for them as well. But, dude, that can be done. They've done that for years.
Right.
And don't forget, the one person that retained her belt is now no longer holding that belt.
Well, there is one other title holder that remains. I took Rhea Ripley into consideration, and we're going to talk about her in a moment. But, Sean, we have seen the drafts over the last few years here, you know, between Raw and SmackDown, what has worked, what hasn't worked. Off the top of your head, has there ever been a guy that has really benefited from switching one brand to the other? And is there anybody on the roster right now that is really just a doorstep away from a huge opportunity and moving brands would be that catalyst?
Man, I wasn't expecting that question from you. That's a great question.
I'm like, oh man, I'm glad that wasn't me.
But, but look, I'm just going to put it to you like this. The draft to me is a cute concept. And what I mean by cute is it plays to what the fans want to see. But it's not really what the company's going to do. Because let's face it, if you have a real draft, let's say I want to draft Refrigerator Perry from the Chicago Bears over to Detroit. That doesn't mean 2 weeks later he can go, well, hell, I'm going to go play back for the Bears for this week, and maybe next week I'll go back to the Lions. You know, if I'm kind of like with Brian here. If you're going to keep the concept of a draft, then you got to have the rules. You know, maybe Paul Heyman puts out money to bring someone over to the Raw side or the SmackDown side. Mm-hmm. You create a storyline like that. But to just have people arbitrarily jump the line to different shows, it's like playing chess, but playing for the other side too. It doesn't matter what you're doing. As far as a person jumping the draft, I think The Miz benefited from it. R-Truth. Being live on SmackDown, I think he's doing, or on Raw, is doing some of his best work ever. But did the draft have anything to do with it? No, it was creative and the writers deciding to put these people in the right places at the right time.
It's one of those things where we sit here and we're like, okay, they're going to shake up the roster. We're going to get new rivalries, new matchups, which is, you know, it keeps things fresh and. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, you know, who made the biggest splash on a draft switching from one brand to the other? And the first one that comes to mind is John Cena in 2005. He was on SmackDown for the longest time. He won the WWE Championship at WrestleMania 21 and then got drafted to Raw, and that's where he was at for the longest time. But that splash, because he was established as a SmackDown guy.
Right.
And I feel like if they are going to do this draft and they are going to be brand exclusive, and much like you guys are saying, keep it brand exclusive. Because otherwise there is no point. Now, you're going to have a little bit of wiggle room in case of injury. They're on the road, house shows, things of this nature. Look, I understand that. But at the same time, you have to treat it like it's an actual sport, like a trade would be done between baseball teams, football teams, what have you. I will send you R-Truth and The Miz, but I want Ivar, and I want this guy, and I want that guy, and maybe this girl. You know what I'm saying? Like actually do it in a real presentation.
Why would you say Ivar?
I don't know. It was the first name that just
popped. I'm hoping actually that now that Triple H has taken control, that he will actually do things different from what the old man was doing.
Yeah.
Because I honestly believe that Vince will forget who's on what brand.
Dude, that's been legit. I have listened to a few podcasts that was alluded to.
Yes.
The last few years, that's why, I mean, he had been known for changing the scripts.
Yep.
You know, within 10 minutes of going live, because he forgot what the hell he was doing.
Yeah.
He forgot what director. They're like, well, Vince, didn't you say we were going to take the story in this? Well, goddamn, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
he forgot. Exactly how it sounds.
You know, what I'm hoping they put a stop to is main roster guys going back down to NXT. You brought up Ivar. What did we see last week? All of a sudden, Ivar's like a motorcycle dude, you know, confronting. I forget who he confronted on NXT,
yeah.
But all of a sudden he's talking proper English. He's not a Viking anymore. Oh, it was
Oba.
Yeah.
Oba Femi.
Yep.
And no, it wasn't that. It was the country boy that just broke up with his partner.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
I forgot his name.
Anyway, he told him, go put on your Viking makeup.
Yep.
You know, so they're crossing the lines, you know. In my opinion, if you're going to be a Viking, you're a Viking. You're not going back to NXT.
Right,
I think it is kind of cool, though, calling up the NXT to the main roster, just not in reverse.
I could just see Sean walking into, like, an Applebee's and be mad because he didn't see the guy in his Viking outfit.
I'd be...
But at the same time, Sean, and we'll correlate this with baseball, if you know, as a legit sport example, if you have a guy like an Ivar, you have somebody that's not really firing on all cylinders on the main roster, much like you would have, you know, a pitcher is not doing well on the mound, they will send him back down to the minors and get him more practice or some other form of training, and then they call another guy up in his place. Could that work in this environment with Raw and SmackDown and incorporating NXT as a true, for the lack of a better term, like a AAA type of organization?
I think it worked for Mandy Rose.
The thing of it is, man, is like NXT is like a feeder thing. They call it a training school,
right?
You know, so why are you sending these guys back down to training if you're going to do that? All you're doing, like, look what's happened to Baron Corbin. Now, what's going to happen with Baron Corbin since Bron Breakker got called up and he's still wallowing around in NXT?
Oh,
it does nothing for these people's careers because they've already been seen on the main roster.
Fair point.
I mean, I'm okay with them including NXT in a draft for now because they got a major television deal, the CW, so you kind of need to really spice that brand up.
You know, with all the TV right deals that have been in the headlines, WWE Raw goes to Netflix, and AEW is trying to secure a new deal with Warner Brothers and all this stuff. The NXT deal with CW does not get mentioned, and it's because it's perceived as a lower level network, but it's a network nonetheless.
Yeah.
This is a new opportunity, a new demographic of people that have that on their TV providers. So you have the potential of growing that brand.
Yeah.
And that's something that nobody is really talking about. What is that TV deal? Taking them off the USA Network and putting them on the CW, a network television, you know, property, is this going to be beneficial for them? I think so for trying to get new casual observers. What do you think, so, Brian? Or
oh,
no?
Yeah, for sure. I think we got to lose the idea of it being like a training ground and, like you said, more of a AAA where you could pop people back down, let them work on the things that they're missing, jump back up. But like when we said about Baron Corbin, like I couldn't stand Baron Corbin. The only time I've actually ever cheered for Corbin is when he just joined with Bron Breakker and became Wolf Dogs. Like, that was the most exciting I've ever had fun time watching Baron Corbin. And I'm like you said, I don't know what's going to happen to him now, but who knows? But at least he had that one moment.
Right.
He got a belt out of it for a little while.
Yeah.
We talk about the draft. We talk about the roster of talent in WWE, and we had kind of alluded to all the different title changes that took place at, most of them happened at WrestleMania. Coming out of WrestleMania weekend, only two champions had won their titles in the previous administration before the declaration of this brand new era in which Paul Levesque is in firm control. One was Rhea Ripley, the world champion for Monday Night Raw. She just had to vacate her title because of an injury, and you know, they were incorporating Liv Morgan into all this, and that's great and everything. But the one guy that remains the champion, the one title holder that's still intact from the previous administration, and like this was on nobody's bingo card, Logan Paul, the United States champion. I say that, and on the surface, you're like, man, of all people, this guy? But Hollywood, it's got to be him, right?
Well, I like Logan Paul, man.
Prime time.
He's man, out of all the celebrities, man, he's putting in the work. I don't know if anybody's seen the interview he did. I think he did like a self-recorded interview where he said that wrestling for WWE is harder than boxing Mayweather.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And he explained it. He broke it down why and everything. And I was like, you know what? I can respect that. He's done both, so I can respect that. So just seeing the work that he put in and him on promos, he can be that irritating heel that you just gotta boo. But then when he's in the ring, man, he's just like pulling off move after move after move, and he's looking like a natural, man. He's taking bumps like a pro. This guy got it, man. He's like a total package, man. And he's got the size. I mean, and he's got the look. He's got the presentation. He's got
prime. What about his look do you like?
He's a very handsome man.
All right. You know, we're obviously Logan Paul is going to be one of those guys that we keep an eye on, you know, moving forward here in post-WrestleMania going into, you know, they got a lot of big events that are coming up. Backlash is going to be in Paris, and, you know, Money in the Bank is in Toronto. Like, there's a lot of big events that are coming up here. And when you know it, the PLEs are going to have his prime logo right in the middle of the ring, which, if you saw WrestleMania, for me, it was a distraction. But, you know, I'm old school like that. Let's move on. And you can join the conversation, too. 810-331-2829. Call in the show. And if you have a prediction, or you see the draft going one way or the other, if you want to voice your opinion on the WWE draft, is it a good idea? Is it not a good idea? The number is at the bottom of your screen. We encourage you to call in. Let's kind of shift gears here, gentlemen, because the other big news source that made headlines coming out of WrestleMania weekend was the decision and the announcement by Tony Khan that he was going to air the backstage footage from the fight between CM Punk and Jack Perry that took place at Wembley Stadium. A lot of speculation about what went down backstage. You got a Tony Khan's version of it, in which he came right out and said, look, my life was in danger, and I was threatened and all this stuff. And then you got other people's point of view, until nobody was allowed to talk about it. Until CM Punk comes on the MMA hour and just puts it all out there from his perspective. Well, in retaliation, and Sean, I'm going to get your take on this first. Tony Khan come out and he's like, hey, we're going to show the footage and show what really happened. And leading into the days between his announcement and when they did air the footage, there was a lot of chatter online. Is this going to be a good idea? What if the footage shows or backs up CM Punk's version of the story? And it's kind of what happened, right?
Kind of is. I mean, it was from Punk's point of view. Perry didn't attack him first, you know. He actually attacked Perry. Actually, he showed what a wimp he really is, CM Punk did. I mean, waiting for Jack Perry to straighten out his hair and then attack Jack Perry himself. It was a bad move on Tony Khan's part, showing it on his television show. I think it should have been released via the internet, mm-hmm. You know. I mean, you can see that with Tony Schiavone's face. I don't care what Tony Schiavone is saying right now, that he was trying to add heat to the Bucks. You can see on his face he was disappointed in the fact that this stuff was shown. But all it did, I think, was who, I don't know who used the term, but they said it was the finger poke of doom for AEW. And yeah. I thoroughly agree with that at this point, because that was a, sometimes you shoot for the three and you nail it. Sometimes you shoot for the three and it's an air ball. This was just chucked right into the crowd. You know?
Oh, well, man. Said, well said.
What a phenomenal, phenomenal analogy. Q, this was damning for All Elite Wrestling on several accounts. Not only for Tony Khan personally, because look, he's had a history, and we're not sitting here to just kind of poo-poo all over Tony Khan. You know, the guy has his place. He's doing what he's doing. I understand that. But he has a history at this point of coming up with, we have a major announcement, and like gets everybody all excited. Everybody's all like on the edge of their seat. Who is it going to be? What's happening? Where are they going? This and the other thing. And it winds up being nothing, right? So the announcement that he's going to air this footage, and they subsequently show the footage, and there's pictures of Tony Schiavone's face, you know, head buried, and I heard his thing, well, I'm just trying to add to the storyline or whatever. The Young Bucks are trying to, kind of tie into that with their match with FTR and all this stuff. But we got to look at the reality of the situation and how this thing was received in real life, in real time, by real fans and other people within the business. Is this something that, in your view, much like Sean was saying, this is going to be hard to overcome. This is going to be hard to rebound from within a relatively respectable amount of time, in my view. Where are you at on this? Can they bounce back from this?
Not much. There's not really no bounce. I mean, when that ball goes into the crowd, I mean, it's not gonna bounce on anything, but people are gonna catch it. So, but this is like, you know, I don't think AEW is going anywhere, but they're not gonna get to the heights that they want to get to because of some of the actions of the friend boss. You know, he's not the final boss; he's the friendly boss. He's the guy that just, he's the fan out there, and you know, that's fine. He want to be the fan. He's a young guy, you know, a young guy with a lot of money that got a lot of people that he grew up watching on his roster. He's a big fan. That's fine. But if he's going to just continue to be a fan when he's sitting in his chair trying to call shots, then he need to get somebody else in that chair. I mean, it's like me being friends with my children, knowing that they're acting up and they need that father figure to actually put them into place. And I can't do that because I'm being their friend. That's what Tony is to his roster. He's like another member of the roster. You know, he's just pretty much the figurehead.
It's a good way of putting it. Now, Brian, with so much upheaval going on around AEW right now, and I have to agree with Q here. AEW is not going anywhere. We're not saying they're on borrowed time and they'll be done by the end of the year. That's not reality. They are going to be very much around. But I feel like with so much upheaval right now and so much scrutiny around AEW, now is going to be the time for another independent promotion to really focus, zero in on them, and figure out what's going right, what's going wrong. Is there another organization right now that could eclipse AEW as the number two promotion in the United States? There's two that jump out that could really make a name for themselves. Well, maybe three. TNA, obviously.
Yep.
MLW and the NWA.
And GLOW.
Do you really think GLOW would be a substantial number two?
I watch.
I told you, there was a time I came home and it was on my TV and I'm sitting there, I'm like, well, this is pretty cool. I sat there for a little bit. But no, I think TNA would be the big one. I think some of the other two, it would take some bigger names to join them to kind of make them pop a little bit. But I personally, I'd rather watch TNA now than AEW.
Well, it makes you wonder how many other people are starting to switch to, you know, your TNA, MLW, just because they're tired of all the other crap that's being thrown at this.
I'd like to see Billy Corgan team up with TNA.
Yeah.
And then go to take over AEW, because there's so much talent between Impact and NWA right now. And the roster still wouldn't be as full as AEW, and they could do a lot of damage.
Right. Well, you know, we look, you guys have made mention of roster, talent, big name stars. And I'm looking at a list here, gentlemen, and some of the biggest names in WWE right now, their contracts are up for either renewal or they're going to expire at some point before the end of this year. I mean, we're talking former world champions. We're talking main event players here. We're talking like Drew McIntyre. A lot of speculation about McIntyre going into WrestleMania with his contract situation. And at this point, he has not signed a new deal with WWE. And with everything that went down at WrestleMania with him, it made you wonder if that was just like a consolation prize. Hey, we got you here, you get your win, but then Damian Priest is cashing in Money in the Bank, and here we are. He had his live event moment, but 5 minutes later, it's over, right?
It's over.
The power couple of Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins, Ricochet, Jinder Mahal, all three members of the New Day, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, and Finn Balor. Of these names, who's the one guy or the two guys WWE has to make a priority and lock down for another long-term deal? Sean, we'll start with you.
I'm going to say every single one of them except for Ricochet and Jinder Mahal. I mean, Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch, they are the power couple. Their story's not done yet. You still got Seth and CM Punk. Drew McIntyre, you still got him and CM Punk. Kevin Owens... I mean, I don't know, man. He just kind of seems, maybe he doesn't need to be signed right back right away because he's just kind of wallowing in obscurity right now. But Randy Orton with his comeback, he's bigger than I think he's been in years. So they're not going to let him go either.
What about you, Brian?
Jinder Mahal is the only one that strikes out on that list that I'd be like, yeah, you can go wherever you want. But I'm not a fan of Ricochet, but I would not be surprised if they don't throw that speed belt on him. I know he's still in but it's down to four people.
Yeah.
I think that would be him. I'd like to see Becky go, but that's not going to happen. Seth's sticking around. Drew, I think they'd be foolish to let him go. He could be a star for sure somewhere else. Yeah. Ooh.
Well, let's we do have a... Oh, I guess we don't. Okay.
Psych!
It's not April Fool's. Come on.
I could see Finn going somewhere else. I think he's kind of lost in the whole Judgment Day thing. But I for the most part, the only one I'd let... Jinder Mahal, I'd be like, go away, Becky. Go away. But that's more a personal thing. I think they should probably keep Becky. You need the women talent that they have. But...
What about you, Q? If you were going to lock down somebody, who's it going to be?
Honestly, I can see everyone on that list being offered a contract. But as far as, like, taking it, the one person I can see actually dipping their toe out there in free agents is somebody that actually done it before, and that's Drew McIntyre.
Mm-hmm.
I can see him doing it because he's been a success outside of WWE. A lot of these other guys, Seth, he's a lifer. He's not going anywhere. Becky's not going anywhere. Ricochet, excuse me. Ricochet.
I feel the same way when I start talking about Ricochet.
I mean, he's got ties to his wife. He's not going anywhere. Natalya, she's got ties to Tyson Kidd, who's one of the best producers they got.
That's true.
Match quality wise, not going anywhere.
All right. Well, we have a call here live on the air. Welcome to Fatal Four Way.
I think our car warranty is about up.
Are you with us? Hi. Can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me? Oh.
Like, I think we're having some
sort of... Can you hear me?
There you are. All right. Hi. Welcome to the show. Who are we talking to?
Hi. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
You're talking to Will Nerona.
What's up, Sir Will?
What's going on, Big Will?
Whoa. Are you calling in about the...
What's going on, fellas? I love the talk. I love you guys.
Well, we love you, man.
We miss you, Will.
Yeah.
Can you hear us okay?
Miss you guys too, man. I love the wrestling talk. You need to take off that horrible Michigan State, but I love it. I love it.
Well, I'm going to reserve my comments for off the air here because I don't want to get thrown off the air. So we'll just leave it at that. So good to hear your voice, man. And we appreciate you taking time out to call in to the show. Is there an aspect? I know you're an old school wrestling fan. Are you paying attention to the current product? Is there anything that we've talked about here that stands out?
Clearly not.
I'm definitely paying attention to you guys. My only question is, what do you guys think and who do you guys think is like the Hogan of today or the premier standouts?
Ew, gross. Wow. Don't make us say it.
Oh, listen, the way they have it booked is that the easy answer would be Cody Rhodes. However, none of us can buy into that. I don't know. For me, at this point, it's still Roman Reigns. Even though he's not the champion, I feel like he really is, in my opinion, and correct me if I'm wrong here, he is the standard bearer at this point, even without the undisputed title, because we're starting to see, gentlemen, the fanfare for Cody Rhodes is starting to dip a little bit on social media. Have you seen this?
A little bit, yeah, I have. Time will tell. I still want to, you know, put a little bit more time into it. I don't want to quickly write him off. I'm not the biggest Cody fan, but I'm not going to write him off yet. I'm also not going to call him Hogan yet. So it's kind of like up in the air for me who is really the right now, I'm giving it to Triple H. It's his era. It's his era. Triple H is the man.
Well, anybody for...
Whoa!
I'm trying to think. I mean, like you said, Roman probably closest resembles that, especially with the long run.
Right.
I mean, if they would have kept going on that heat that LA Knight had, and pushed him, there would have been a possibility, but he's cooled off so much. I would have to go with Roman.
What about you? I know this kills you.
We all know it's Dusty's son right now, but I think in a few years, and you guys are probably going to reach over the table and slap me.
Ricochet.
Keep your eye on Logan Paul.
I've almost said his name, too.
He's that guy right now, he's the best heel going, but once he turns babyface, once they give him a reason. Once they give him a reason, I mean, think about it. He's a social media superstar. He's, you know, United States champion right now. He's the biggest heel going. He's got his company logo in the middle of the ring. Once he turns babyface, I think that crowd is going to rally behind him, and you're going to see one of the biggest pops. When he becomes world heavyweight champion.
I am with you.
I don't know if he can pull off a
face. As you were sitting there saying that, I'm like, I don't know if I can get behind this guy. Because he plays the heel role so well. But I feel like
the only challenge to him for heel would be Dominic. I think Dominik is still the biggest heel.
Oh, man, that's a good one, too.
And I could see Dominik going face. He's the only one I could see making that flip. And
yeah.
You just got to give Logan Paul reason to flip face.
Yeah, I do.
It's going to take a few years, but.
I got to agree with Mr. Bolf there.
Sir Will, we appreciate you so much for tuning in to the show, brother. And we need to get together here real, real soon.
I guess he doesn't want to.
I think there's a delay.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on real quick. Miss you guys. Love you guys. And keep talking, man.
Good talking to you, Will.
All right, brother. Absolutely, we will talk to you very, very soon. Sir Will calling into the show. That was a fun surprise.
Listen, great question, too.
Yeah, great question. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, what we're going to do right now is we are going to run a quick timeout, and we will be back with more of the Fatal 4-Way live on ONTV right after this.
Orion Neighborhood Television is your community media outlet. Our mission is to empower community members and groups to create, communicate, and connect through television and video production. For more than 35 years, ONTV has offered video production classes to residents of all ages and provides them with the equipment and facilities to produce their own programs. Not only are residents encouraged to produce programs, but ONTV staff produces programs that promote local nonprofits and community groups like the Chamber of Commerce, the Orion Township Public Library, and the Lake Orion Lions Club, to name a few. The staff ventures out into the community to cover events like parades, festivals, concerts, and high school sports. ONTV has provided the equipment and staffing to televise township and village meetings live and has provided the video equipment that Lake Orion High School students use as they prepare for a career in broadcasting. ONTV's podcast studio and training give producers an opportunity to educate and entertain listeners. To sign up for classes or for more information, call 248-393-1060 or visit orionontv.org.
Welcome back to the Fatal 4-Way live here on ONTV with Sean Grugel, Brian Boff, Hollywood Q. I'm Jason Klaus, and we have talked about a lot of different aspects here tonight, and we're not done yet. But before we get into the next course of action here, our next piece of business, we invite you to call into the show at 810-331-2829, or if you are online and you can communicate through the Orion ONTV Facebook page and the live chat happening there. If you have any question, our esteemed producer over here will bring
it. Wow,
got promoted.
He's got a producer credit.
So he will read it on there. We'll talk about it. But before we get to all that, Sean, you have the Indie Roundup for this week, my friend.
Indie Roundup.
I like my theme song. Let me put on my old man glasses here because they aren't. Oh, you know what? I grabbed the wrong glasses. Those are my good reading or my good seeing glasses. So. My eyes are so bad I couldn't tell my glasses apart. But let's get into it. On 420 at 5:30 doors, 6 p.m. bell time, Imperial Wrestling Entertainment. 421, National Drug Test Day, coming up. Imperial Wrestling Entertainment presents Spring Showdown at the Artesia Youth Park Center, 1800 South Loxley in Houghton Lake. Your main event is Bill Blackwell and Trevor Stroud versus the Mighty Bojack and Dave Weston. They did give a notable name of Stuntman Mike, teehee. And check them out at iwegladiators.com. Metro Pro Wrestling on 420, 7:30 bell time. At the Downriver Council of the Arts, it's Maximilian versus Jake Omen. If you know anything about independent wrestling, you know who Jake Omen is. 421, Independence Pro Wrestling, 6 p.m. They present Defiance at the Four Star Theater in Grand Rapids, Michigan. The main event is not advertised, but notable names are Josh Raymond, Anderson Knight, The Human Hype, Jimmy Shawin, Max Morrison. April 21st, Capital Pro Wrestling. They present the Great Lakes Professional Wrestling Showcase at 3 p.m. Main event is Orlando Christopher versus Keith Cream. April 25th, Superstar Championship Wrestling at 6 p.m. They present Night School at the Renaissance High School. Notable names are Big Rookie and Chuck Colding. April 26th, 7 p.m. Bell Time, Divine Pro Wrestling, A League of Their Own. It's an all-women's wrestling show.
Wow.
At the Livonia Elks Lodge. That's at 3117 Plymouth Road in Livonia, Michigan. The notable names on that are Mickey Knuckles and Lizzie and Peyton Blair Dagoons. April 27th, XICW presents Can't Stop, Won't Stop at the Premier Event Center, 2400 South Nunley Road in Clinton Township. The main event is Orlando Christopher versus Aaron Orion, and the notable name is the DBA.
April, I've heard of that guy.
Yeah, I've heard of him once or twice, too. April 27th, New Edge Pro Wrestling at 7 p.m. Location is 6176 Dipfield Industrial Drive in Waterford, Michigan. May 3rd, Superior Championship Wrestling, bell time 7 p.m. They present Spring Fallout at the Lincoln Park Band Show, 3240 Ferris Avenue in Lincoln Park. May 23rd, Pure Pro Wrestling, they present Lucha Fiesta at the Vault, 110 Florence Street, Saginaw, Michigan. The main event just says Authentic Lucha Libre as Masked Marvels take center stage in a high-flying main event. May 4th, mark this one on your calendar. UPW Pro Wrestling. They have a meet and greet that starts at 4 with a bell time of 7. This show is called Marquette Mania. It's a long ways away, but I think it's going to be worth it at the Lakeview Arena. The main event is Joey Avalon against Mr. Anderson.
Oh, I'd go check him out.
With
sure.
Notable names of
Anderson.
Thank you. Notable names of Jimmy Hart, Gangrel, Mr. Anderson, The Headbangers, Homicide and Hernandez, Madman Fulton, Shockwave the Robot, Rico Rodriguez, and Shark Boy. The Headbangers, Thrasher and Mush. Wow. So I know I talked fast.
Not remember their names.
You can go to the Fatal 4-Way Facebook. They're all listed there. You can see all these promotions, websites. Go out there. Go support independent wrestling because tomorrow's superstars are wrestling in your area today.
Absolutely. Wow. A lot of talent there. And we certainly encourage you, if you are in the area, or support independent pro wrestling, because man, that's where it all starts. Yeah. Now, from the independence circuit to winding up on the Mount Rushmore, Mr. Bolf.
Yes.
My God.
I'm dead.
I look like a potato.
I am dead.
I'm like looking at you like you're about to do something, and you're like, you just licked my face.
You're looking at my huge quadruple chin.
Oh my
God.
Very Paul Heyman like right there.
Oh yeah.
Listen, we did not.
That's awesome, man.
We did not know that was going to be a thing. That was,
I like it.
That was a real response in real time. My goodness.
I look like I'm already on 420.
Mr. Bolf, this is your segment. What are we doing here this week?
We're going to do our Mount Rushmores of our favorite wrestler entrances. Oh, not specific to like a WrestleMania one, but their day-to-day entrance. And it's funny because I almost put Mr. Anderson on my list.
Did you?
I did. I do that like that mic drop.
Yeah,
that's a good one, yeah.
I'll go first.
Yeah, absolutely.
Seeing we talk so much about Ivar, I'll get right off the bat. War Raiders.
Okay.
Nothing better than walking out there and just war, 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 war.
War.
That pumps me up so much. I wish they would still do that. And if the bigger arena's doing it, oh my God, that would be so cool. Number two on my list, Aleister Black, the coming up off the board with all the smoke and the candles.
I thought about that one. Yeah.
That's a good one.
I'm going to say right off the bat, I did avoid your top ones that I feel like everybody else was going to put. Number three, we talked about this when I put him on my list, Sandman.
Okay.
Oh,
good one.
The Enter Sandman, one of the best songs by Metallica. He's got the beer out there. He's in the fans. The kendo stick or the cigarette, no matter what he's got, he's walking through them. The only problem with that was sometimes it took him so long to get to the ring because you had everybody grabbing on him and stuff like that. And then last but not least.
Still now, Fox the Undertaker.
Last but not least on mine is the New Age Outlaws.
Oh.
Very good.
I like that.
And if you don't like my list, you can.
All right. Well, this is good because I didn't have any of yours. So.
That's why I did it.
Yours are going to be identical. You wait.
My number one is the Boogeyman.
Oh, good. We talked about it.
Yeah, love the Boogeyman. Yes. Number two for me is Demolition. I mean, their entrance was basic, but once those heavy metal riffs started, sent chills up your spine. Number three might surprise some of you guys, John Morrison. And I know a lot of it had to do with the camera work, him going in slow motion.
Slow motion, I was put it. That's good.
Very, very cool entrance. And then number four, similar to yours, but DX.
All right.
It's my turn.
Yes, it is.
All right. My first one, Vic Van Vader, when he had the had the Mastodon on the Mastodon helmet with the little smoke effects coming out of it.
That's a good one.
Number two, The Brood.
Very good one.
Almost had it on mine.
Yep.
Number three, the original Wyatt Family.
Oh, good one.
Yes. Had it on my list too.
And then number four is a guy that just cannot work for nothing. But I had to put it on here for his entrance, Goldberg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see Goldberg, and I get it.
If you're a fan of sparklers.
Yeah, listen. How'd that go again? obviously, I'm going to go with The Undertaker, and it's not just WrestleMania. It's anytime you heard the gong. And the purple lights and the smoke and the lightning and all
that. We saw that Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Big reaction.
Huge.
Brood was on my list because the whole fire, you know, coming up through the fire thing.
Not the goblet of blood and spitting it out Triple H style. And as soon as he gets back, he's just covered in blood. And you had to wrestle him. Like, that was great.
Yeah.
The whole presentation.
It was. It was.
The music was creepy as hell.
Yeah,
I love that music, man.
Kane, the original incarnation of Kane,
where talked about it.
All goes black, and then the big pop, and then here he comes out. And along the lines of the Demolition, I'm going to go with the Legion of Doom because
talked about that one too.
You know, back in the day, even prior to coming to the WWF. Man, you saw the silhouette of their heads and the shoulder pads and the spikes, and you heard Iron Man and like just the whole ambiance of it. That's what got me hooked on professional. That was the very first wrestling match I ever saw was with the Road Warriors. I'm like, I am hooked. So I was here for it for sure.
Watch some of the early entrances in the NWA. When they were heels and they would come through the crowd and the crowd would just beat them to death with chairs and throw everything that wasn't nailed down at them.
Right. We do have a call live on the show. Who do we have? Welcome to the Fatal Four-Way.
Hi, my name's Donald Holland. I'm a big Michigan Independent fan.
Oh, great.
And I just wanted to tell you guys, I think you're doing a great job. Levi Blue turned me on to your stuff a while back, your podcast. Everything. I think you're doing a great job, and I just wanted to let you guys know. I think you're doing awesome.
I'll tell you. Speaking on behalf of all these guys, we cannot tell you how much we appreciate you. Number one, watching the show, listening to the podcast, and calling in here tonight. We certainly appreciate that. Do you have an opinion on anything that we've talked about at this point?
A favorite entrance?
Your favorite entrance by chance?
Well, my favorite entrances was, I would definitely have the Sandman's on there. I'm an ECW mark. I would have the Road Warriors. The pop was crazy. Then I would do, to me, a local one. I just think the theme song is awesome, DTA, Death Red Army.
Oh,
and the number one would have to be Nick Gage, MDK. When he comes out for the GCW shows, it's just like nothing else. It's crazy.
Do you, you heard us run down the list of independent shows that are happening in and around the area here. Do you follow the independent scene? Is there one promotion or one wrestler that you make a point to support each and every time?
Well, there's quite a few. I love XICW. I've been going to it for years. To me, nothing. Michigan, XICW is Michigan Independent Wrestling. BBA is an awesome guy. But I really love his son right now, MM3 and Tommy Vendetta. They're doing crazy good things. They're all over the world. They're in the UK. MM3 is going to Canada. Tommy was in Canada. They're in Tennessee tonight wrestling on IWTV. They're just all over the place. They're killing it. They're both ranked in the PWI. I know you don't like deathmatch wrestling as much, but Tommy's top 10 in the world, ranked by PWI. So they're both representing Michigan really well.
It's awesome, man. Listen, we certainly appreciate you tuning in here tonight and calling in to the show. And
thanks, brother.
Yeah, it really means a lot, really.
No, keep it up, guys. I've told Levi before, I think the Hot Tank, I love it. It's one of my favorite podcasts going.
All right. That's awesome.
We
are doing something right. We certainly appreciate all of the feedback, and thank you so much for calling in.
You guys have a good night. Thank you.
You too, brother. You too. Thank you.
And just so people are aware, Levi, when I was wrestling in the Independence, that was my ring name. I was the Pretty Boy Redneck, Levi Blue. So thanks for calling in, man. Thanks for the kind words. Keep watching. Your mom watches the show, so like, share, subscribe, keep sharing. You know, if you love your mom, you're going to share this stuff. So
there you go.
Thank you.
It's not often you hear the term Levi Blue turned me on.
Hey, I'm a sexy, well, no, not anymore.
Look, back in the day, we could pull some pictures out, and it would blow your mind what this guy used to look like coming out at the early part of his career.
Getting old sucks.
Gentlemen, you know, we have a few more minutes here on the show, and if you have an opinion, you have a Mount Rushmore of your favorite professional wrestling entrances or anything that you want to chime in at, you can call into the number on your screen, 810-331-2829. What are you doing over
Producer
there?
Producer Hollywood Q got questions.
Is there questions?
Hey, we might just have one. Let me see here. Let me scroll through my list here.
I mean, I thought that's what you were doing.
You know what? I got it right here. Like I got it right here.
We will be back in 2 weeks.
All right. I got a nice little question from someone here in the comments, Ethan Stewart.
Ethan
says, do you think the Usos are banding back together as faces anytime soon?
I feel like, you're kind of setting the pieces in place for that, right? I mean, we saw what I would think would be a disappointing match at WrestleMania between Jimmy and Jey Uso. Like, I had all kinds of hope for this match that was going to be the match of the night on that particular card.
Yeah.
And it just did not. Like, it missed big, big time in my view. And I'm wondering if I'm not the only one who picked up on that. And that's why we are going to start seeing kind of the reemergence or the return of the Usos as a tag team. Bringing Tama Tonga in is a huge deal for the storyline, and he's not going to be the only one. Fatu is on his way too.
Yeah. To me, that SmackDown segment with Solo and Tama Tonga coming in, that was one of the biggest bloodline segments that did not have Roman and Rock tied to it. You know, they weren't there, so that was like a big move. I loved every bit of it, and I believe that we are setting up for like almost like a NWO Black and White versus
a
NWO.
Civil war,
yeah, almost. You got that civil war going. So we can see. I'm already like putting it together. I can tell. Like Solo was already saying that order of the tribal chief. I don't think it's Solo. I think Solo is taking orders from The Rock. Mm. So you have The Rock on that side. Roman comes back later. You know, Roman's filming a movie now, so he's coming back. After, you know, all that time, and he's going to get a pop. And he's going to align back with the Usos, and we can see that Civil War breaking out. We're talking about War Games coming up.
Ooh, that would be an amazing.
That's what it, when they started toying with this, I was like, this is what's going to, this is the seed that's going to that be that's going to be planted for War Games in November.
Yep.
He makes a good point, and when I was while he was saying it, I'm like, ooh, I need to ask Sean this. Coming out of WrestleMania, the, Roman Reigns is off the show. He's off. He's not in WWE right now after losing the Universal Championship to Cody Rhodes. And we were all watching what were they going to do on Raw and SmackDown immediately following that to keep the other members of the Bloodline relevant without Roman's participation. And I'm like, when's the last time that this happened in a similar circumstance? I go back to WrestleMania in 98. Shawn Michaels loses the WWF title. The very next night, you saw X-Pac make his return. Yep. And then you saw the New Age Outlaws come into the fold. We have a new DX. This is what's happening now with the Bloodline, right? They're bringing in these new members. They're bringing in new talent for a new version of the storyline. Does this lead to War Games?
Absolutely it does. If you've watched interviews with Paul Heyman, he was saying that there's enough storyline and the Bloodline storyline that could last for years.
Sure,
if you remember right before the IWC got so vocal when it was going to be The Rock versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, what did The Rock say? That he wanted to eat at the head of the table. Mm-hmm. I think we're going back. We've seen so much going back to bring so much forward. I think that's what we're going to see is we're going to go back in time and bring it back forward to present the current storyline. So like much like you were saying, we're going to have this civil war at War Games.
Wouldn't that be something if that's that's the tagline of it, the Samoan Civil War? I mean, could you see that play out?
Are we going to play into more Marvel titles, Civil War, now we had Endgame?
Yeah, look at that.
I mean, but how
this is Stan Lee right here?
the Stan Lee of PFC.
Honestly, if this doesn't end at War Games, I'm gonna be disappointed. The Bloodline is shaping up to be the greatest storyline that WWE's ever produced.
Obviously, a lot to unpack here, and you know we have to wait and see how things are going from week to week, and you know, between now and the next time we are on the air, it is 2 weeks, so we're going to come back in here in 2 weeks' time, and we're going to have, I'm sure, I have no doubt, a whole nother crop of news to dive into. For all the latest news and information, we invite you to check us out over at the PFCnetwork.net, the official online, or the official website, I almost said online store, the official website
coming soon of
our network. And with that, go out and be awesome to yourselves and to each other. And we'll see you next time right here on the Fatal 4-Way, live on ON TV.